So I was late today because I was up last night. I was doing the preview, which I actually showed you, but there was no audio for it. So I did a piece last night. Let me just show you this one more time. And you've already seen this, so I apologize that I'm such an idiot. But that's fairly embarrassing. All right, so your San Francisco Giants 2025 preview. Will they surprise us? I went through this with you. The numbers from last year are the numbers since winning their last World Series. So we're 10 seasons conveniently, 2015 to 2024, since the last World Series title, 10 years, of course, not counting this year. So there's their overall record, playoff appearances. Average finish is 81-81. Winning season's 3, losing season's 6, 1.500 season, but people still come out. Rank in key categories as I do the season preview up there. There is Baseball Prospectus with the, FanGraphs. FanGraphs with the lineup, FanGraphs with the pitching. There's my 5 Giants keys for 2025 right there. My prediction is based off of a lot of what ifs. As I said, bank means that the players are in the bank. What ifs means maybe half those will come through, if that. So the only guys in the bank, which means consistent players day in, day out, night in and night out, Webb, Chapman, Adamas, Walker, Rogers, Bailey, et cetera, a lot of what ifs. There are the Bakota standings, as I showed you once before, but with no sound. And there are some predictions. I've got them at 83 and 78, which if Bakota sticks, then that would put them close to Philadelphia for the last wildcard spot. I think the teams are going to do better than that, but that's what we've got at johnlundunleashed.com. So check that out. And there is your season preview for the Giants. So check that out. And I apologize that there was no sound there. So anyway, what I was saying is that Krug and I are going to go live at 1 o'clock for this new show, which is an interactive Giant show. So during the game, we're going to be live. It's going to be really, really cool. So 1 o'clock, both on my channel, John Lund Unleashed, and the Krug Show channel. So at 1 o'clock, we'll do that, 1 o'clock specific. And the thing I was asking you was, does this 9 o'clock start work for you? Does it not work for you? What do you think of that? Tomorrow, I've got to be the courier, and I'm taking the kids to school tomorrow. So I'm going to start at 9 o'clock again tomorrow. Not that this is a regular thing, but if this is better for you, we can be democratic and possibly do that. The other thing I was saying about the logo, if Dom is in here, Dom, awesome logo. I know you probably want to work on it a little bit more, but I wanted to do something to preview it. Bottom of the pint was Dom's idea. I think it's a great idea. It's a working title for now, but I think it's a great thing. So we're going to do that at 1 o'clock. But what I was saying was, is that I was only going to do that show, and I thought about it for a while. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute, there's so much going on that we have to do a show. So first and foremost, happy opening day, which if I wouldn't have been an idiot and had my mic off, happy opening day, love opening day, can't wait. It's going to be incredible. For the 1 o'clock show, I'm going to run to the store between shows, hot dogs, all sorts of baseball stuff, beers and everything like that. So bring your beers at 1 o'clock today and we'll have a great time together. The Giants preview is up. Your predictions. I want to know what you think. I'm going to have an optimistic attitude to start the season, something in past years I haven't. So in other words, I think I know everything. I look in the offseason, I go, they're going to suck. And I have a pessimistic attitude. I'm going to have an optimistic attitude this year until they show me they're not worthy. We're not worthy. So if they are worthy, then I'm fine. If they're not worthy, okay. I'll learn that as the season goes on. But I'm going to choose to be optimistic about the season. Somebody asked me for an MLB prop yesterday. I did that for homework. I'll give you that. And then the other things, and the reason why I wanted to do a show this morning was all of a sudden the Dubs are in seventh. Told you about the Clippers. They've got the tiebreaker. Kawhi's hot. LeBron had a game winner. An awesome Jokic pass last night I wanted to talk to you about. I don't normally talk about Screamin' A because I'm giving him exactly what he wants when I do that. But the LeBron Screamin' A thing is out of control. More Ayuk talk very quickly and $1.6 million for a dog attack. So all those things, I'm like, we got to do a regular show. I mean, we got to talk Giants. So I'll talk some Giants today as it is opening day, and I want to get your opinion and what you think is going to happen, but we'll do a lot of that at 1 o'clock when the Reds and the Giants throw the first pitch of the Giants opening day 2025 season. So again, look at the show season preview at johnlundunleashed.com, and I have a totally separate video there that's only about 10 minutes long that kind of goes through the preview and gives you some thoughts on that. So there you go. I agree with you. I was like, wait a minute. I can't wait till 1 o'clock. There's people, people count on me, kind of, I guess. Not really, but, they do. So anyway, all right, let's go through this whole thing. Let me try this again. Vernon, Francis, Hurley Bird, passion for the pastime. That's our good friend, Walter. I still have not done his thing that he sent me, and he's probably upset with me. Todd, it is tremendous to see you. Rockin' JJ. Hopefully people stay through it like he doesn't have his mic on. Is he insane? Colin, good to see you. Kyle, because see what I was doing was I was looking at the beginning and then everybody's like, watch this. I'm going to go down to the part where it's like, sick roll call. Yeah, I know, because my mic was off. When did people start doing this? Oh, John needs an intern. See, right there. That's what it was. People start looking at that. You're muted. So look at this. There's like 100 things that are like, you're muted, moron. You're so stupid. Yeah, I know. Let me see. When did this start turning around here? Muted, muted, muted. My God, there's like 200. And I wasn't even looking at it. So I didn't even have the chat on yet. There we go. We're good. 1:10 p.m. I'm going to try for 1 p.m. I mean, Krug's going to run this show, just so you know. I'm going to jump onto his channel. So he's running it. Not that that matters to anybody. Dom, it is great to see you. I hope you heard me. I used your rough draft of Bottom of the Pint, and I think it's a great idea. So all love to Dom. I love Bottom of the Pint. I just think it's an amazing, amazing name. Lots of people put stuff through. It's a working name for now. Maybe Krug hates it. But for now, we're going to use Bottom of the Pint today at 1 o'clock when we do the live in-game show today. So there you go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Joe Schmo. I'm a moron. There's no doubt about it. Thank you so much for telling me, and a lot of people told me, so I appreciate you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Colin, has become a YouTube member, and there you go. Let's give lots of love to Colin today. So there you go. All right, good morning. I apologize once again. It's the last time I'm going to say it. I cannot believe that I went on and on and on and yip-yap for 10 minutes on opening day with no mic on. That was an all-timer. That was just brilliant right there. Nice work. Okay, let's do this. Bottom of the Pint, 1 p.m. I played that for you already, and so you probably heard that part. Happy opening day. I could not be more excited. As far as opening days go, I was thinking about this morning. When sports start, the NFL is pretty incredible. Opening day, you can complain a little bit. It started in Japan. That makes no difference to me. Whether all the teams need to start at one time like they used to do, I don't know, things evolve. I'm just excited. I love baseball. 162 games is an absolute grind for both players and fans. So it's like, you know, a couple of weeks from now, a month from now, you know, you're not as excited. But opening day is fun, and it signifies so many great things, which is like in Northern California where we are, where a lot of us who are watching are, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, whatever, spring. It's decent weather around here all the time, and then it just gets better and better. But when you're in places like I've been and worked, like Pittsburgh, Detroit, places where you just freeze ass for like 5 or 6 months, the fact that baseball has arrived, and although at the beginning, like there's no ivy on the walls in Wrigley and you're freezing your butt off. I mean, I was at opening days in Detroit where it's like, are you kidding me? It's like 40 degrees. And it was just insanely cold. Or Pittsburgh, where, I mean, I was just bundled up like this going, seriously? But it does signify the fact that this will come to an end shortly at some point. So it's just massive. It's just a cool thing. There's so much tradition with opening day. And as I said, it's not like it was where everybody, you know, afternoon games and everybody does it. And some people complain about Japan and all those things. I don't care. I just know this. The Giants are playing real baseball today. And all the speculation and this and that is gone. All the spring training. Yay, we're the spring training champions. Doesn't matter. The reality of all, like I said, of all the what ifs, and that would be my major thing. And this is not pessimism. This is just reality, where I look at Logan Webb and Ryan Walker and Matt Chapman and Willie Adames. And there's a number of guys who I say, those guys are going to play well. I know that, what I call in the bank. And then my what ifs are a lot of them. It starts at number two in the rotation. And I like Justin Verlander, and he looked great in the spring, but we've hit the reset button on that. He's 42, coming off a neck injury. Robbie Ray's 33, coming off Tommy John, although he's further away from it. Young pitchers, how are they going to do? Is Jordan Hicks going to get tired again at the end of the season? You know my thoughts on him going to the bullpen. Ryan Walker looks like he's completely legit, but he had 10 saves last year. Can he do it over an entire season? Can Duvall handle the eighth inning role? Remember, he wasn't revved up for the eighth. It was part of the problem he would have sometimes. So can he handle that role? I think he can. He's got a great arm. And then you go into the infield, Lamont Wade Jr. In 2021, when they won 107 games, he was a force. Guy had like 17 home runs. Can he kind of be that a little bit? Can Tyler Fitzgerald handle second base? He had 8 of his 15 home runs in July. Is he going to be a guy that can do it all season long? Can Patrick Bailey defense? Great. Patrick Bailey offense? Don't know. He gets tired. Ramos, first half guy, second half guy. Jung-Hoo Lee looked great in the spring, but he had 262 with a 641 OPS. Is he better adjusted now that it's his second year? So there's if all over the diamond. And generally speaking, 2021, all the what-ifs went right, and they won 107 games. What if, what if, what if? They won 107 games. the what if now normally is 80 and 82, 79 and 83, all those records that the Giants have been having over the last, like I said, it's a convenient time to look at them because the last World Series title, as we know, was in 2014. So from 2015, the year after, to 2024, last year, is 10 years. They're a 500 baseball team during that time. And if you think about it, they won 107 games. So they mixed in a 64, a few 70s, a lot of 80s. Can they be at least a contender? That's if I'm Buster Posey in my first year, and we can talk about Buster Posey too, but if I'm Buster Posey in my first year with the Giants, I'm thinking to myself, I need to be a contender. I need to give this fan base at the very least. You want to be a playoff team at the very least. But at the very least, they need to give us a thrill like the Pecota standings, which I showed you, which I have right here. As a matter of fact, we don't even have to go to the fancy preview show that I did. But if you look right there, the Giants are projected to go 77.8 wins, and the Phillies, I think they're low on all of these, are at 86. So in that projection, they're about 9 back of the final wild card. I think the Giants can be a 500-plus team, which isn't lovely, but still, let's say they win 83 and the Phillies are at 86. Okay, then you're probably in it till the last week or 10 days of the season, and at the very least, that should be what this Giants team can do. So I think their projections are pretty low. They don't have anybody in the Central outside of Chicago winning more than, being more than 500. Atlanta, New York, and Philly are going to be in that thing. I think Milwaukee, which they're never great on paper, but they're just so good. I think they'll be a plus 500 team. I think St. Louis will. Cincinnati could surprise them. I'm a little surprised that they're at 74. I think they're better. In fact, if I had an over-under on wins, I would take the Reds over. The Dodgers, whatever. The Padres, the Diamondbacks, that's the issue. And now because you give the division to the Dodgers every single year, now you're fighting with all the other teams that don't win their division. So if they're right and they say LA, Chicago, Atlanta, then New York, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Arizona, San Diego, you're competing against all those teams for a wild card berth. So just give me your thoughts. And again, I'm not pessimistic. I'm just simply saying this is what is out there. And it's not a lot of optimism on the Giants. As far as ESPN is concerned, they've got them projected at 80 and 82 with a less than 25% chance to make the playoffs. And in their power rankings, which I think are ridiculous, but people click on them, they have them up 22nd, which is probably about right. And then this is what ESPN says. They actually say that the offense should improve with Jung-Hoo Lee coming back, Willie Adames, their rotation, the fewest innings in the National League, which means that second in the National League, and also second in baseball to the Tigers, by the way. The fewest innings in the National League, second in all of baseball, which means that their bullpen was overtaxed. And yeah, there's a lot of questions in the rotation, but if they're going to win, and we all know this from the championship years at 10 and 12 and 14, you got to pitch well. So Logan Webb, Justin Verlander, Robbie Ray, even though I complain about Jordan Hicks, he's got to be very, very good. And then Birdsong, Root, maybe Harrison, they mentioned some of those younger guys in Wisenhunt and Whitman, says need to take a step forward. If they're going to win, it's based on pitching. I mean, the Dodgers last year were 18th in overall rotation ERA at 3.90, and they were 19th in starter ERA at 4.22. The Dodgers can do that. They have an offense to offset that. The Giants have one way to win, and that's what sucks. There's teams, the Dodgers have every way to win. The Giants have one way to win. Great pitching rotation, at least go 6, save the bullpen a little bit, and then hope that the bullpen is absolutely great and you score enough runs. That's always been the MO in this ballpark, and it always will be. And the one thing I had against Farhan Zaidi for years was he didn't play to the ballpark. You have to be excess pitching, trade the excess pitching for the hitting that won't sign here. And I know Adames did, so give him a chance. But they should be more athletic than the other team, gap to gap, steal bases, play great defense. And he never did that. He never drafted like that. He never signed like that. He didn't do those kind of things. So I would hope that that's changes. And the thing about Buster Posey is just in general, from what I saw in the offseason, was they gave him Willie Adames and then they turned the faucet off. And that was it. I think that they needed to do more, but we'll see. Like I said, I'm going to go in with an optimistic, not a pessimistic attitude as far as the Giants are concerned. So give me your thoughts on that. Projected lineup. There it is right there. And that is through FanGraphs. So Lamont Wade Jr., Willie Adames, Jung-Hoo Lee hitting in the third spot this year, which is much more what he is. He's not a leadoff hitter. Doesn't take a lot of walks, doesn't steal bases. Matt Chapman, and this is where the key is right there. Adames, if he hit 32 home runs and knocked in 112 last year, both career highs. Where he hit last year in Milwaukee had the eighth best home run rate in baseball. The Giants, of course, at Oracle Park have the least. So will Willie Adames drop from 32 home runs? Very, very likely. Can he hit 25? Maybe. He should be. Because if you look at last year for the Giants, they were actually seventh in baseball hitting home runs on the road. Dead last, of course, at home. So it's not like they're powerless. It's just that they've got to make some hay on the road. But Ramos, first half, second half guy, Bailey, can he endure an entire season? Flores is going to have to be the DH, which hurts at the beginning of the season. Hit 23 home runs 2 years ago, four last year. We know Yaz, and hopefully Tyler Fitzgerald can hold up for an entire season. So that is what the offense looks like. Staff-wise, there you go right there. And look, Logan Webb, and then it starts. Justin Verlander at 42, Robbie Ray at 33, off TJ. Jordan Hicks, he was 5-fly last year. Can he have more endurance? And Landon Roop, I expect that to possibly be Birdsong, possibly be Harrison. There's some other guys in the minors. So that's what the starting rotation looks like for the Giants. So there you go. Happy opening day. Giants preview. Your predictions. MLB prop I'll do in a second. We'll get to the dubs. But give me your thoughts as we finally have the microphone fixed. Give me your thoughts as we're at John Lund Unleashed. Please follow us on YouTube. Bay Area Sports Collective as well on YouTube. That's where we are. We're on Twitch today. We're on X at John Lund Radio. We're on Instagram at John Lund Radio. Facebook, John Lund, and John Lund Unleashed. So give me your thoughts. How are you feeling about the Giants? What is your level of optimism? How will you attack the season? Are you going to walk in and just go, you know what? It's cool, man. I'm going to have optimism, or I just love watching baseball, or I like going out to the park, or I'm going to, you know, whatever. Are you going to get angry? Are you very – how exactly are you starting the season as a Giants fan? I'm wondering. And yeah, give me a prediction. There's Kyle right there. He says 84 wins this year. Give me your thoughts. What do you think? Did I say 83? I'm already missing my prediction. I think 83. Like I said, Pecota has them, Baseball Perspectives has them at 77.8. Vegas has them around 79. Does 83 make a difference? Pop and I used to fight about all this all the time. He'd be like, 500 is a big deal. It's not a big deal. 500 to me is fine, whatever. There's a distinction that I look at, and it's either playoffs or not. That's what it is. Playoffs or not. I don't believe them to be a playoff team, and that's not pessimism. That's just realism. Like I said, it's the what ifs of everything. I hate to keep saying the Dodgers, but the Dodgers have a bunch of stuff in the bank. The Phillies have stuff in the bank. The Braves have stuff, like a lot of it, where you go, they're going to do this unless they get injured. They're going to do this, and they're going to be pretty good with it. Whereas you look at a team like the Giants, and you go, a lot of what ifs. And generally speaking, in professional sports, what ifs are 50-50s, maybe even less. You can have a season like 2021 where people scratch their head and they go, how did 2021 happen? How did that happen? Because all the what-ifs came through. That's what happened. All the what-ifs were great. Brandon Crawford, career year. Lamont Wade Jr., career year. A bunch of pitchers, career years. Bullpen, bunch of guys, career years. Before the season, that was what-if, 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 what-if. And then the next year, those what-ifs went back to what they normally do, which is kind of 50-50 guys. So that's how you look at the Giants. If a bunch of these what-ifs came through, especially in the rotation, what if Justin Verlander was the guy he was a couple of years ago when he was a Cy Young with an ERA in the high ones? What if Robbie Ray goes back to his old form when he was a Cy Young kind of a guy? He's only 33. He's further away from a Tommy John. I mean, you can talk yourself into it. What if Landon Roop and Hayden Birdsong are what they were in spring? What if Jung-Hoo Lee, what he was in spring? What if Ramos was the guy he was in the first half? If all those what-ifs come through, that what if Tyler Fitzgerald is more the guy he was in July than he was some of the other months last year? What if? A lot of these guys have shown it, but in professional sports, it's not about what you show. We all get so excited about when we see a glimpse from somebody. Well, that's who they are. Who they are is based on consistency. So guys wouldn't be in the majors. Guys wouldn't be in the NFL. Guys wouldn't be in the NBA. Guys wouldn't be in the NHL if they weren't great and didn't show it sometimes. The great ones are consistent. So when it comes to baseball, what do you play? 5-6 games a week? So 5-6 games a week, the really great players play 4-5 great games. And the inconsistent players that drive you crazy maybe play 1-2. And that's the difference. Where are you for the other 3-4 games a week? Oh, that's why we're winning 78 games, because you've got a bunch of guys who just aren't consistent from day to day or start to start. Or outing to outing out of the bullpen. And that's how you win 78, because you scratch your head and you go, I saw that guy. Remember when Luis Matos had 16 RBIs in a week? Yeah, and then he had 9 the rest of the season. So that's the inconsistency that you look for, or that you're talking about. And that's the difference between if guys, what if, and guys that you put in the bank. Logan Webb, when he goes out there, goes seven at least, and he gives you a chance to win the baseball game. That's a guy who's in the bank. Ryan Walker, even though he hasn't done it for an entire season, I look at his stuff and the way he's done it for the last couple of years, and I put him in the bank. Matt Chapman, I know what he's going to do. He's going to defend. He's going to be up and down offensively at times. Matt Chapman's in the bank. They've got to get more of those kind of players who are in the bank. Willie Adames has proven it. Even if last year were career highs in 32 home runs with 112 RBIs, you look at the back of his baseball card, and he's still got consistent production. So I'm okay with it. I'm still Willie Adames in the bank. And then a bunch of what-if guys, like I said, and that's why everyone's predicting them for around 500, because that's what what-if guys do. And that's what what-if situations do, like 50-50 kind of stuff. So I agree with you 100%. Matos was down a lot, and it's hard to get, as you point out, hard to get RBIs in AAA. But he, for everybody who got all excited for that week, they gave him more opportunities, and he didn't come through. So that's I like Luis Matos, and I hope, to be honest, I hope he's their right fielder somehow, because he's so damn good that it's like, we got to find a place for this guy in the lineup. He's been up and down, but a lot of it has been by his own doing because he's been inconsistent. He's been ridiculously red hot at times, as we saw last May when he had 16 RBIs in a week and was player of the week. And then we've seen him completely disappear and swing at pitches way out of the zone and be inconsistent defensively. And that's who he's been. So if he's the spring guy that so many people are like, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that, then they're going to be good. Or he's going to be good. And then he's going to force his way out. 84 and 78. Yeah, we're about around the same place. I think I said 83. Tacky says low 83 and 88 if everything goes perfect. Now, 88, and I would take 88 right now. Sign me up for 88. 88 puts you in the wild card chase. And for a Giants fan, given what the last number of years has been, again, since they won the World Series, so 15-24, their regular record is 81-81, despite the fact that they had a 107 win season in there. They had a 64, some 70s, all that kind of stuff. They've been all over the map. But generally speaking, and this is what's frustrating for a fan, I think, they're a 500 team, and that's just not good enough. They've been in the playoffs twice. 2016, they lost to the Cubs. 2021, obviously they lost to the Dodgers. They've had six losing seasons in the last 10, and that's not acceptable for this team. Let's see, what else do we got? There you go. I like Surfbone, by the way. Great name. Hey, they got a guy named Willie. Let's go. Yeah, there you go. It's a different spelling, but yeah, I'll go with you on that. Completely fine. Yeah, you know what's funny is my wife isn't here, I don't think. I think she's out running errands and doing stuff before she leaves town. So she would have told me. The thing is, I can hear it in my ear, and there's a tiny little, like, there's a picture of myself in the corner that I can see, and there's a tiny little microphone, and it has an X through it, but you can't, it's not like you're looking for it, and I don't know why they muted me. Never mute me. Anyway, that's what it is. Kyle says, I like the 9-10 start, but that's just me. And again, I asked you, if you're just jumping in here, we started at 9 o'clock because I was writing the Giants preview, and you can check that out at johnlundunleashed.com. It's got a separate video and all this breakdown of the Giants season, that at johnlundunleashed.com. Plus I have put just the video only on my YouTube page at John Lund Unleashed. But yeah, I was doing all that stuff and I didn't know. So anyway, 8 o'clock, I was still editing that piece and I knew I wasn't going to be on time. And then yesterday I told you, I'm not even sure if I'm coming on because we have the bottom of the pint show at 1 o'clock with the Krug show. That is a live broadcast during the Giants game. And we want you to grab a couple of beers, join us on opening day, that at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So I wasn't sure that I was going to do a show. And then, like I said, there were so many other things that were not related to the Giants that I was like, we're going to do a bunch of Giants, but there's too much other stuff going on. So I want to keep a Giants theme throughout the show, but, that's the deal. Yeah, I understand. Like you said, sounds good. I can sketch out a logo for you guys. The one I sent you was kind of scratchy, and I totally get that. And you're probably like, dude, you weren't supposed to use that. But I needed something, and I had to do a promo for the show because we wanted to promote it. So I just told Krug, I go, I love Bottom of the Pint, so let's go with that. Because we were going through like 100 things, and I really appreciate everybody throwing a bunch of names at me, and tons of them are really good. But I don't know why, Dom, that just hit me that Bottom of the Pint was cool. So then I took it. We made a thing out of it. And I know you, I think it's great, but I know you and you're probably a perfectionist and you're like, I can do better, but I really like it. So we're just going to use that as a working title and as the logo for now. And then if you want to update me on something, that's awesome, but I love it. First of all, happy opening day to everybody, regardless of what the season is. I just love opening day. I'd love to get your thoughts on that too, of how much you love it. 84-78. Oh, look at Antonio saying 9 a.m. works great. Did we get a Lund? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I should do that. I absolutely should do that for opening day. My voice is a little scratchy today. I don't know what's going on with it, but it is a little scratchy here. Another day, and BA is still here. I know. We'll talk about that as well. I like this Rolex, Dad. I like the late start. I'm a little less hungover. Okay. All right. That's what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for a little feedback. Maybe we will start at 9 if people like the 9 o'clock start. Just let me know. I got to know. I'm curious. Not that I don't need to sleep in. I'm a very early riser. But, you know, the 9 o'clock was good. I was able to do a couple of things. Let's see, EBFN prediction would be what their record will be when they were. Yeah, that's a good point. What will their record be when they arrive? Hi, EB. Dude, skills. It was like 10 or 12 minutes. Like, I've never done that before. It was like 10 or 12 minutes. Because what I was doing was I was going through the chalkboard. I was going through all the stuff with the website and the new piece that I had barely just posted and written. And so I wasn't even looking at the chat line. And my wife's out of town. She's not watching. I don't have my phone. See, somebody would have texted me. Oh, I do have my phone. Usually I have it on my desk. I've just had too much going on today. Let me see something here. Hang on. Did somebody text me and at least tell me? Yeah, actually people did. Oops, I didn't check. Yeah, that was brilliant. That was really good. Yeah, a couple people are like, dude, sorry. I should have checked. I was totally oblivious. It was just a perfect storm. Yeah, it was probably like 10 or 12 minutes. It was absolutely ridiculous. So anyway, yeah, give me your opinion. So let's make this consistent. Even if we're not talking Giants, let's make this consistent. What about the 9 a.m. Pacific start? Yay or nay? Second of all, what's the other second of all? Tell me your predictions, your thoughts, what kind of attitude you have going into the season. Yep. Barreling through without checking the chat. Because what I have is, again, I should take a picture of this so you can see. For an ADD person, this is just the worst thing. But there's a chat line. There's all these things. And when I go to get a piece of media, for example, like let's say I do this, I pop this up on the board. What I have to do is I have to leave the chat. So I can't see the chat right now. Or if I, you know, okay, hey, we're talking about Pecota in the National League. I leave the chat. It's not on my screen. I have to, you know, it's two separate things. So then when I go back, then I'm like, okay, let me go back to the chat. Now I can see the chat. So that's what I was doing. I didn't have the chat up, which lesson learned. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the chat. So anyway, the other thing I'm going to do before we move on to a couple of things is what is your go-to? Like, let's say today at 1 o'clock, you're going to join Krug and I for the Bottom of the Pint show on both channels. And we're going to watch the game together, the Giants game. Like I said, we're going to have an overlay and all these kind of things. So come hang out if you can with us today for the inaugural edition of Bottom of the Pint. And then we'll do that for Friday Giants games moving forward. But we want to do a special edition for opening day. So we're going to do that at 1 o'clock today, 1 o'clock Pacific. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get definitely hot. I'm not going to boil them or anything. I split them in half, fry them, put cheese, bacon, the whole nine yards, hell with the diet, and have beers and everything like that. So go-to stuff for the ballpark, buy a bag of peanuts to have in here, which will make a total mess, but I don't care today because it's opening day. So any of those questions you can answer, but I want to know what your attitude is about the Giants, how many games you think they're going to win, and what about the 9 o'clock start above everything else. Okay, the prop thing. So somebody yesterday on the chat line hit me up on a super and said, hey, you like a prop? What kind of prop do you like? And so you caught me off guard. I didn't really have a prop that I liked, a prop bet for the season. So I looked at a number of different websites. Lo and behold, ESPN, which is always right in front of your face, actually had the, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to marry value with what I like. All right. So it's like if something's 1-2 or, you know, if I can't make any money off it, then it's silly. But this was kind of an interesting one. And actually has to do with the A's. So Brett Rooker's regular season home run, if he's the regular season home run leader, look at that whopping number, plus 2,500. So it says he's blasted, maybe I was biased on this, 69, nice, home runs over the past two seasons, playing in half his games in Oakland's very spacious Pitcher's Park. We know that, Pitcher's Park. 41 of those, 60% on the road, and they don't have to deal with Oakland anymore, and especially when it gets hot at Sutter Health in Sacramento. Very hitter-friendly AAA stadium for 2025. This is a healthy Rooker may hit 50 blasts. He's not wrong. So I thought to myself, you know what? And I've heard that. I've heard a couple of people say, hey, you know what? You know, you're looking at Aaron Judge, a number of different people in the American League. I understand that. But I think he could. If, you know, 50 plus, you're playing in a ballpark in Sacramento that the ball is going to fly. You don't have to deal with Oakland as far as trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. He hit 60% of his home runs on the road. That's not a bad bet. Because like I said, I like value. I don't like to just do the, you know, you might win a couple of bucks or win, you know, barely win your money back or something like that. I like that. That's not a bad one at plus 2,500. The one I would not take that I was looking at ESPN is this. Logan Webb does a lot of great things well. I'm not going to say he gets Matt Cained all the time, but he's not a great wins guy. Like you want to say that he's going to lead the majors in innings? He was third last year. In just a few minutes, or I think Logan Gilbert was number one at like 208, and he was like 204.2. So if you want to call him the innings leader, I would do that. But I'm not taking that bet for at plus 2,500 for the wins when you can get Rooker for the same number at plus 2,500. So I don't like the Webb prop. I like the Rooker prop a lot. Why not? I think that's not a bad one. So that's where we are on the chalkboard today. MLB prop. What do you think of that one? I like it. That's the prop that I do like. NBA-wise, let's hit a couple of things NBA-wise. And I'm sorry that I have to be the bearer of bad news here, but the bracket that I'm always showing you every single day has the Warriors now in seventh place in the West. The Clippers win. Both the Warriors and the Clippers are at 41 and 31, 10 games left in the season. Kawhi Leonard, I'll pop this up really quickly here because that makes me leave the chat, as I told you. Here is, where's Kawhi's thing? Kawhi is red hot, and the Clippers are tied, and they have the tiebreaker, I told you that, over the Warriors. They've won three games to none. I'm looking for this Kawhi Leonard thing to impress you, and I don't know that I have it up there. I swear I did, but I don't see it now. So anyway, Kawhi Leonard, take my word for it, is hot. And the Clippers now are tied with the Warriors at 41 and 31. That would mean that the Warriors would have to play in the play-in. You know that. So the 7-8 right now is the Warriors in the 7 and the T-Wolves in the 8. So that would be the first game. And the Warriors have lost three in a row in play-in games. But because of the 7 spot, doesn't mean if they lost to Minnesota somehow, and that would be a home game, that they would be out. They wouldn't. They would then play the winner of the 9-10 matchup, which right now is the Kings as the 9, the Suns as the 10. So that would be a home Kings game against Kevin Durant and the Suns. My fear would not so much be the Kings, but let's say the Suns win that game. You lose to Minnesota. Now you're playing for your playoff life to play Oklahoma City in the first round, and it's Suns at Warriors. And this was my biggest fear, is if you win the 7 play-in game against the T-Wolves, then you're the 7, you take on Houston right now in the first round. That's a better matchup than the 6-3 against the Nuggets. I get it. But if you somehow don't win that game against Minnesota, which you should, but you may not, then you have to probably play Durant and the Suns to get into the playoffs, which you've dropped yourself down to the 8, and now you play OKC in the first round. And while I've said consistently and all along that playing a young team in the playoffs is different, you can win all the regular season games you want. But if you haven't been there as a playoff team, it's totally different. So I do believe the Warriors could go in there, punch them in the mouth in game 1 in OKC, and it's on. But I also think that they could lose the series 4-1 because Oklahoma City could be as good in the playoffs as they are in the regular season. They are clearly the best team in the Western Conference, but there's 82-game deals in seasons, and there are 16 wins to a championship, and they are vastly different. So maybe Oklahoma City gets intimidated by the Warriors, like Draymond Green still thinks, I think erroneously, that they walk into buildings and people believe that. I don't think Oklahoma City will believe that unless the Warriors were to walk in that building, beat them soundly in a game 1, and they start looking at each other going, ah, this is different. The playoffs are different than the regular season. Who knew? And the Warriors know. So I don't think they're intimidated. Draymond Green said that the other night after the loss to Miami, that teams still get up for them like they used to, and they just don't. You're not the measuring stick. You're not anymore. You're not the measuring stick that you were. Now, to a certain extent, anytime Draymond Green and Steph Curry's on a team and add Jimmy Butler, yeah, you're going to get respect. But it's not like you're walking in there as the 73-win team, or as a defending champion team, or anything like that. The measuring sticks in this league right now are Cleveland, Boston, OKC. Those are the measuring stick teams in the league. You've got a reputation. You might be able to do something, But teams don't look either way that they used to. I've talked to enough people in the league and know enough people in the league that that's just not true. He can believe that, and he should believe that. He should believe that they should walk into every series and win. It always cracks me up when you read, you know, people post things and say, Draymond Green says, like at the All-Star break, Draymond Green says the Warriors are going to win the championship. How else should he feel? Should he say that we're going to be a one and done? Should he say we're not going to make the playoffs? Should he say we're a play-in team? Like, every guy in that team should believe they're going to win a championship, or they shouldn't be around. Maybe deep down they don't, but Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, the leaders on that team have to believe they're going to win. The fact that they say it makes news. It's like, what? Why would that make news? I don't get it. So anyway, they are officially in seventh place and would play, season doesn't end today, but we're 10 games away, and they have a tough schedule down the stretch. 10 games away from the end of this thing, and the Clippers are tied with the Warriors but have a 3-0 season advantage. And it could come down. There's one more game left, and it happens to be the final game of the season. So it could come down to that final game to determine who is the sixth seed and who has to play in the play-in game, which right now would be Minnesota. Sacramento is ninth, and the Suns are 10th. So that's where we are. Kawhi hot. I had that up there. I don't know what the heck happened to it. It's not that big of a deal. All right, here's some video for you. Let me play a couple of these things for you. First of all, I'm going to play the LeBron game winner from last night because, first of all, whether you like LeBron, hate LeBron, off the court, on the court, whatever the stuff, and I'm going to play some of the stuff because him and Scribune have a feud going on right now, which I've told you this before. I don't usually play things like that, but it's getting to the point where I at least have to comment on this because having done this for nearly 30 years, it is kind of my area of expertise in terms of what the role of a media person is. And I know it's ever-changing, especially in today's social media world, but where Stephen A. is, where LeBron is, some of them, they're probably, this squabble, probably both are a little bit wrong, but I want to play this for you because it's just become such a big news story that it's, you just can't get around it. But this is on the court last night. The Lakers beat the Pacers, and love him or hate him, on the court, you got to respect LeBron. Here's his tip-in game winner against the Pacers.
With two for the win. Tipped up and in. Will it count? LeBron James at the buzzer. He says rack it up. It's an automatic review. One more look.
I thought he got it off Mark well in time, to be honest with you.
Oh, it's going to count. It's going to count.
Well, before the red light comes on,
and it's all right, there you go. There is Mark Jones and Doris Burke on the call for ESPN. So LeBron James gets a game winner. Luka on the drive. By the way, Luka over the last four or five games has been great for the Lakers. And every time I see him play, I'm just it's not that I don't like Anthony Davis or he's not going to the Hall of Fame or any of these great things, but my God, it's just so ridiculous. I know LeBron got the tip in, but all the defense is going to Luka. LeBron tips it in, does a great job, and he deserves all the credit, but Luka draws all the defense. I mean, it's just, you're so short-sighted when you trade a guy like that, but whatever. It is what it is. So that leads us to, and I haven't really been paying attention to this, to be honest, the beef. And essentially where it happened was LeBron was pissed off about Screaming A, talking about his kid. Stephen A goes back at him and has said this consistently, that the only reason the kid is in the league is because of his dad, and he would still be in college and should still be in college. And he pins it on LeBron that the kid has to go through all this stuff. Anyway, they're having beef, and it's gotten public, and now it's getting to a ridiculous point. And Screaming A is taking it for all it's worth. And if LeBron would just shut up about it, it would die. But it won't, because then LeBron was in Indianapolis, obviously, for that game. That's where Pat McAfee's show is located. And so LeBron goes on McAfee's show and adds more fuel to the fire, and then Screamin' A comes back on his show after that. So here's where we are. Major beef. Maybe you care, maybe you don't, but the story's become so big that I thought I needed to address it from a media standpoint. So here's what LeBron said with Pat McAfee yesterday, and then I'll play for you afterwards Screamin' A's retort.
Legit, that feels like a moment that had been brewing for a long time.
He's like on a Taylor Swift tour run right now.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're watching it. Yep. We're all seeing it. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
we're all, you're seeing it as well.
It's no, this no. He literally, it started off with, I didn't want to address it.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't want to address it. I wasn't going to address it, but since the video came out, I feel the need to address it.
Yeah, it went viral. You would be not to talk about it.
Are you kidding me? If it's one person, that couldn't wait to the video to drop so you could address it. It's your ass. Like, seriously, he completely, like, missed the whole point. The whole point. Never would I ever not allow people to talk about the sport, criticize players about what they do on the court. That is your job, to criticize or to, you know, be in a position where, okay, if a guy's not performing, you know, that is all part of the game. That's all part of the game. But when you take it and you get personal with it, it's my job to not only protect my damn household, but protect the players, you know. And I think a lot of the media, including him, and I know he's gonna be happy as hell. He's gonna be smiling from ear to ear when he hears me talking about him. Oh my God, he's gonna get home and grab some ice cream out of the fucking freezer and sit in his chair and his tidy whiteies on the couch.
I hope at some point you two get.
All right, so first of all, I don't know about you, and I'm all about honesty because, you know, I feel about LeBron off the court. He does just so many clown things, and he's just a modern-day athlete to a certain extent, so I get it. But he rubs you the wrong way. But on the court, I cannot deny. But then in watching him in that interview, I kind of liked him. I got to be honest. I kind of liked him in the way that he did that. I wouldn't have, if I was an athlete and I had that much clout and I was LeBron James and same thing. I look at guys like Michael Jordan. So they just would never acknowledge a media member to this level. They just never would. There's no way, because all you're doing is exactly what he said. And he knows it. And he said it at the end. All he's doing is fueling Screamin' A, which makes Screamin' A more popular and everything like that. He's feeding right into everything that he's pissed off about. So here's Screamin' A later in the day.
He is a liar. And he went on national television today and he lied again. You see, when he approached me while I was sitting courtside at that game against the New York Knicks, when he rolled up on me, I didn't know he was going to roll up on me. I had no idea. But when he said what he had to say, I was in no position to give any kind of retort without making a scene. It was during the third quarter. It was fresh out of a timeout. It was him walking to the basketball court. It was on national television. The cameras were rolling. And had I done something, what do y'all want me to do? You want me to act? You want this to be a reincarnation of Chris Rock and Will Smith? And let me state for the record that while we bring up that, let me assure you, it wouldn't have gone down like that. I would have gotten my ass kicked, because had that man put his hands on me, I would have immediately swung on him.
Stop it. Just stop it. I mean, see, that's where it's like, okay, can we stop with the sensationalistic nature of this whole thing? First of all, LeBron's wrong because he knows what's going to happen. He knows there's cameras and camera phones and everybody's a reporter nowadays. All you do is hold up your phone and all of a sudden you're an accredited reporter. You can't do it then. You might be pissed, but it just shows an immaturity in his part at 40 years old, where if you got a problem with Screamin' A, you say to him at a timeout, hey, man, I need to talk to you after the game, and you just walk away. You don't let the cameras, you don't stand there, you don't grandstand that whole thing, because you know that then that turns into a story. All you do, and you can get his number, or you text the guy and say, hey, man, I have an issue. Can we squash this in private? Like, you don't do that in public. There's no way you do that in public. So for some reason, LeBron wanted that to be publicly known that he was trying to intimidate Screamin' A. Screamin' A, for his part, is like, hell yeah. It doesn't matter how big Screamin' A is and how much money he makes and all this kind of stuff. This is content for him. This is content. And so he's loving this. He's going to go back and forth. And then LeBron, who could have squashed it again by just shutting his mouth and not saying anything about it. And it's giving oxygen to a fire, right? You just throw something over it, the fire's done. But he just gave it major oxygen. In fact, he didn't give it oxygen. He gave it gas. He just gassed this thing. Thing is a bonfire out of control now, because now you go on Pat McAfee, a national show, and you acknowledge it. And at the end of it, he goes, yeah, I'm so stupid for doing this. And he does. And then it gives more fuel to the fire. Now it's a big story. And to me, I wasn't even going to talk about it, because I'm like, whatever. This is stupid. But from a media perspective, it's just the way things are nowadays. I would never do this. I told you, I had confrontations. Sean Kemp, I told you, I had a confrontation with. Karl Malone, I had a confrontation with. I've had a number of guys confront me on things I've said or written, and not one time did I think to myself, and it wasn't an age like it was now, but there were certain ages where, you know, there were phones and people around and everything else. I've had added out with reporters in front of players. I had to be broken up one time between me and another reporter, because actually Karl Malone was, it was in a playoff series against the Sacramento Kings. And I was standing there, had finished my interview with Karl Malone, one of the beat writers for the Utah Jazz, who was a really good friend, who knew Karl Malone really well. And that's part of this process. These guys get great access because they have good rapport with these guys. And Malone started going off on, I don't know if it was Weber, it was somebody. And he was going off on him. And I had my recorder in my hand at the time, no phone or anything. And I turned it back on and started recording. And the guy looked at me and goes, "You getting all this, asshole?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "This is my interview." I go, "He's standing right here and I'm standing right here." And he starts going off on somebody. I'm recording it. And then one of the radio guys, this is the beginning of my career, and one of the radio guys who'd been doing it for like 20 years was a Jazz play-by-play, or not play-by-play, but an analyst. The guy asked him, goes, "What would you have done in that situation?" The guy actually backed me. And it was like my second year on the beat. And I was like, "There you go." And he goes, "Okay." And he's walked off. It wasn't like he was like, "I stand corrected." He just walked off. He was pissed off. So there's certain parameters around media, but it's different nowadays. And I completely acknowledge and understand that. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to build your brand as a media member more than ever. I keep telling my son that. I'm like, "You got to be more about you." And he's just not, that's not his personality, but it's like you. And I think there's a fine line that I try not to cross. It's just, maybe I could be, it would be more advantageous for me if I would, but I just, there are certain lines that I'm just not comfortable with, but that's fine. Other people can do it. Maybe they'll be more successful. Maybe they won't, but Screamin' A is all about Screamin' A, and he wants to build his brand as big as it can be. And he's already done a great job of it. Now he's bleeding over to politics. Oh my God. But he is. And it's just become bigger and bigger and bigger. So what LeBron James is doing is, it's a snowball rolling downhill, and it's out of control. And it's like, dude, all you got to do is stop. You know, any media member, it's very, very simple. All you got to do is just make him irrelevant. There are media members that I just don't like. I don't read them. I don't consume their products. I don't talk about them on the air. And Screamin' A is one of those guys, but it got so big that I felt like ignoring it is to my detriment, because it's such a big story. And what I try to do every single day is, whether it's a local story in the Bay Area or whether it's a national story, I try to hit the biggest things that you would be interested in. That is my point, is to try to get eyeballs and ears and all these kind of things to watch, to listen to all those things. That's what we're all doing as brands and media members today. And we've never been more brand than ever. So Screamin' A is really at the top of that in terms of figuring out his brand as a media member. And LeBron James is just fueling it. And he knows it. And all those guys. The reason why Skip died, not literally, but figuratively in our world, is, number one, Fox got smart and took his form away from him. And enough people don't like him that he can start his own projects. I don't know what he's doing. I've never played any of his stuff on my show. But all of a sudden, the oxygen was taken away from him like a fire, because nobody does like him. Like, you can be somebody who people disagree with and everything, but then you're kind of likable. I don't know what Screamin' A's appeal is, because he makes my ears bleed. He doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He's actually not credible. When it comes to the NBA, I've told you this many times, he used to be, because I'd have him on pregame shows all the time before he made it really, really big. But he spread himself so thin that he really isn't an expert in any way, shape, or form on anything. But he talks in an authoritative fashion. He talks in a bombastic fashion, which for some reason people relate that to knowing what you're talking about. So yeah, there's a style over substance about him that I have to respect, because he's accomplished so much. So I respect what he's done. I wouldn't do it that way. But then again, he's making $20 million a year. So somebody must like it. I always scratch my head. It's almost like, you know, like Taylor Swift or Britney Spears or whatever. It's like, when I talk to my friends, they all say, "Well, I would never listen to that music." Well, somebody's listening to it. I don't know who it is. It's not me. But somebody is, and they're just not admitting it. And it's the same thing with Screamin' A. Like, everybody says they don't like him, but there's some reason why. And I've told you this a million times, because I worked for ESPN for years. They do research out their nose. They spend so much money on research, it's ridiculous. They kill so many trees. They used to send out all these things and print all these things. And this is what is hot today, and this is what you should be talking about. And this is what the research says. Every single day, they're sending you packets of research. And so the research has to tell them that people are watching, that the numbers are up, that people want it. They want more, because they put them on every single platform they possibly can. And he's just loving this. I mean, as LeBron can't even help, LeBron at the end is like, "Why am I doing this?" It's like, exactly. You, as far as athletes are concerned, you can't ignore them if they're really great at what they do. It's just what it is. You may not like them, but they're going to be here for a long time. So pull up a seat. as far as media members and personalities and things like that, if enough people ignore him, they just go away. But that's not the case here. And LeBron James knows it. It's like you could have a hand if you just didn't acknowledge anything. But these guys, a lot of them, the Kevin Durants and LeBron James and all these people, Draymond Green, they just can't help it. And therefore, what they're doing is they're feeding into the exact thing that they're pissed off about, which is you're making it bigger and bigger and the fire bigger and bigger, and you're throwing logs on and paper and burning materials and all these things. And it's just, and you're giving it oxygen and gas and all, and it just keeps going out of control. So, and I just did the same thing, but I thought we had to acknowledge it. I could be wrong. All right, let me do one more thing in regards to the NBA. And then I've got a little Ayuk. I want to get out to what you're doing. And then I got to jump out of here because I have things to do before 1 o'clock. Did you see this pass last night? I'm not saying Jokic should be the MVP based on this, but I acknowledge that Oklahoma City is having a tremendous season, and you know, SGA has been awesome, all that kind of stuff. But this pass from Jokic, you just got to see this if you didn't see it last night. Check this out.
Jokic on the pump fake.
Oh, let me start this over because I screwed up.
Jokic on the pump fake. Oh, pass! And over the shoulder, no looker.
Oh, they're going to give him two shots. Joker tried to foul him out on the wing. Look at that pass. Just a flip over the shoulder.
One of the best.
I mean, are you kidding? I mean, that was unbelievable. And he was 30, 10, and 10 last night. It's like, whatever. He's going to finish in the top three in points per game, rebounds, and assists. And that's just like, that's professional basketball. Those are professional players. Nobody has any idea where that ball was going, except for him. It was like a Globetrotter thing. But no, that's not the Washington Generals they're playing. It's the Milwaukee Bucks. It's the NBA. It's a real game. That was a ridiculous pass. He is so good. We can appreciate that. He doesn't have to be on the Warriors for us to appreciate that. That's an absolutely amazing pass. Absolutely amazing. All right, I'm going to get out to one quick thing on the Niners and Ayuk. A $1.6 million dog attack, but let me take a break real quick and give us your thought. I mean, what a pass. That was so ridiculous. Are you kidding me? Is this true? Stephen A. will be on General Hospital Day. He's on soap operas now? Is that true? I mean, you wouldn't lie to me. I know you skills, so my God, man. Yeah, that's a great call right there. That's a great call, rocking. Jason Williams. Yeah, just a no-looker. From a seven-footer like that, though. I guess that would, you know, whatever. Radnich would always mock Skip Bayless saying, I'm not going to scream with my veins popping out. Yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah, you know, like I said, I'm not acting like I know exactly what's going on and why people like what they like. Some people, you know, the old Howard Stern thing, the people that love you listen this much. The people that hate you listen that much more. So maybe people just love to do that. That's just not me. I like to be entertained, but I'm more of a Charles Barkley type or something. People are having fun with it and everything than taking it too seriously. I say this all the time. Sports is the toy box. We're supposed to enjoy it and have fun. And I know debate's fun, man. We should. But he just takes things way too seriously. And any show he's on is too serious for me. And he doesn't do it in a way that's informative. Like, I'm not informed by what he says because he's uninformed. So when I tune into a show, whether I watch it, whether I listen to a podcast, no matter what it is, my general thought, and this is what I try to convey to everybody else, is we're either going to laugh, we're going to get informed. There's going to be valid opinion. There's going to be opinion that is researched to a certain point. You know, I'm not saying everything I say or do is that, but it's like, it's got to have some kind of quality that brings something to you, which is either laugh, we have some fun, we learn something, we give you some information. There's got to be something to it. And to his thing, it's a lot of it is just unbiased or biased opinion that's not really rooted in fact a lot of times, that's actually inaccurate. And a lot of big words, a lot of yelling, and a lot of, you know, and therefore it's like, well, he must be right because he's saying it in such an authoritative fashion. I mean, this is where I'll give him a ton of credit. He doesn't know anything politically either, and I'm not going down a political road because I know what that means in sports talk. We keep them very separate. When I have seen him on those forums, though, the people that he does these with, because sports is so similar now to politics and the way that it's talked about and consumed, is that these people are just blown away because he takes the same principles he takes in sports that he does in politics. And even if he's not accurate, he's talking so fast and loudly and interrupting so much that people just don't have a chance. He's an expert in this field of how to talk. So it's whether it's politics, whether it's sports, whether it's general, whether it's this, that, or the other. He's so good at that that the content really is irrelevant, as crazy as that sounds. And therefore, because it's a whole new audience that doesn't really know him and everybody's uninformed, they go, sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Sounds like he's pretty authoritative. I mean, that's all it takes nowadays. All you have to do is sound like you know what you're talking about, yell the loudest, talk in the most authoritative fashion, and people go, all right, because they don't have time to be informed a lot of times. So anyway, not to go down a political road, but I mean, he's great at it. I got to give him a ton of credit. I got to give him a ton of credit because he goes on those political shows and those people are like, they're just like, my God, what do we do here? It's a crack up, man. All right. Yeah, that was a Jason Williams. By the way, again, I told you, let's keep this consistent. Giants opening day today. I don't want to get too far away from that. 1 o'clock, Krug and I are doing the Bottom of the Pint show on this channel, John Lund Unleashed, and on the Krug Show channel on YouTube. So make sure you're subscribed and you know when we go on the air. And we're going to do that. You're like, 1 o'clock, the Giants start at 1:10. Yeah, that's going to be a show that's going to go on during Giants games every Friday. But we're going to do the opening day edition, special edition today to work it out, work out some of the kinks and see what we do. So grab yourself a beer, some hot dogs, some peanuts, whatever. And at 1 o'clock this afternoon, tune back in and we will do a show for that. And we will have a great time. In fact, let me play the promo one more time. Because last time I didn't even have my mic on. By the way, the theme throughout today's show will be how many wins for the Giants? How you feeling? What do you think opening day? All those kind of things. I stole this logo from Dom, who did a great job. He wants to work more on it. I totally get it. This was just a rough draft. I probably wasn't supposed to use it. I apologize that I did, but this is what's going to happen today at 1 o'clock for Giants. And then every Friday Giants after that. Let me see if I can play this again.
It's the Bottom of the Pint with Larry Kruger from The Krug Show and John Lund from John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. The Bottom of the Pint. Beers and baseball. Each Giants Friday, because with this team, beers and maybe something stronger is a must. Yeah! The Bottom of the Pint, debuting with a special opening day edition, Thursday, March 27th at 1 p.m. Pacific on The Krug Show and John Lund Unleashed channels on YouTube. Bring your own cold beers and kick off the Giants season with the Bottom of the Pint.
All right, so you go. Bottom of the Pint today at 1 o'clock for Giants and Reds, 1 o'clock Pacific time for Giants and Reds. And we'll hang out, watch the game together. We'll have an overlay of the Giants game. We'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on. But bring a couple of beers, bring a dog, bring a hot dog, some peanuts, whatever your libation and food of choice is. And we'll talk and hang out during the game with Larry Kruger and I. So make sure that you check that out. And again, through the theme of the show today, what do you think for the record? How you feeling about the season? What do you think opening day? All those Giants-related things. And if you have any questions or comments or thoughts, let me know about that as well. All right, more Aiyuk talk, and then I'll get back to some Giants stuff. Let me pull this one up. I don't think it's anything new. This is Jordan Schultz. Jordan Schultz talking about Brandon Aiyuk. Nothing new in my mind. This was just a notes column he had. Things are a bit tenuous between the Niners and their number one wide receiver. Open to trading Aiyuk, terrific player, blah, blah, blah. Trading for Aiyuk's contract, coming off an ACL. Most believe it is unlikely. So I bring that to you because it's news. It's not new news. And if you go to a show from a couple of days ago, I told you he's not going to be traded. I did a short the other day. If you go to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, I told you he's not going to be traded. I told you last week he wasn't going to be traded to the Patriots. That Greg Bedard story wasn't even a report. And Greg Bedard texted me back and said, yeah, it wasn't a report. And I said, yeah, you look at the tweet. It wasn't. So he wasn't reporting that. He was just saying he had a feeling in his bones that the Patriots were going to look at wide receivers. And they did. And they got Stephon Diggs, who's coming off an ACL as well. Remember, it's an ACL and an MCL for Aiyuk. So they decided Diggs and his problems were less problems than what Aiyuk were and are, and it seems like the Browns may be the only choice out there. But as I told you the other day, why would you trade for Brandon Aiyuk and his big contract and the $22.8 million check that you got to write before April 1st and he's injured and all these different things and give up a pick when wide receiver is just not that high of a demand position? Quarterback is leverage for a quarterback. Brock Purdy's getting his money. By the way, Jordan Schultz said something there, $50 to $55 million. I think he's completely wrong. As I told you, and I did a piece on this that's at johnlundunleashed.com and on the YouTube channel. I did a video of it. I think Brock's getting close to 60, if not over 60. It's just he's got the leverage. But wide receivers aren't like that. And for some reason in 2024, GMs and so forth thought, yeah, we got to pay these guys. They don't. And Jed would like to get rid of them and not write that check. But it takes two to tango, and I don't see another team that's going to write the check, give up the pick, pay the big salary next year for a guy who's injured. It just doesn't make sense when you can go, the draft is a month away, might as well just go get a cheap wide receiver who can probably do the same things and is going to be with you from day one. Just doesn't make any sense. And you can get receivers. We saw it in the offseason, Cooper Kupp and Davante Adams and a bunch of guys changing teams, and DK Metcalf. You can find wide receivers. It's hard to find quarterbacks. That's why I don't think there's any leverage in the situation for the Niners. And even if they were to give Ayuk away for virtually nothing, I just don't think a team would do it because the finances are so against it and you can find wide receivers. So I don't think he's going anywhere. But so that hasn't really changed. And then finally, before I go back to some Giants thoughts and then we jump out of here until 1 o'clock, this is a really strange story. So this happened in San Jose, agreed to pay $1.6 million to a man who was accused of helping his girlfriend steal tequila and then attacked by a canine for 1 minute, the second highest canine award in the state of California, $1.6 million. Now, I don't know the details on this story. Sorry, I just screenshotted it and wanted to talk about it. There should be a kind of a rule or a law. Like, if you're breaking the law and I've got to release my canine on you and he does something to you, that's on you. Like, if you weren't breaking the law, this seems like logic to me, right? Which we're not always logical. But if you're breaking the law, all right, if you're just walking down the street and they release a canine, you get $1.6 million. If you're helping your girlfriend steal tequila or anything, it doesn't have to be tequila. I just felt that it was dun 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 tequila. I just thought it was interesting because it was tequila. You're breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law. If you're breaking the law and the canine gets released on you and you get injured, that's on you, dude. Because they didn't release the canine because you're just a normal guy walking down the street. They released the canine because you were breaking the law. And you shouldn't get $1.6 million for it. And then the other thought I had was, would you allow, if somebody gave you, I think most people would, if somebody gave you $1.6 million, now they have those suits, they test the dogs out and they put you on those big suits. I wouldn't even let a dog attack me for that. Like, put on the big suit and the dog's going to attack you. Like, yeah. I don't know. But I'm just trying to think logically, which we don't always have to do, or we don't always do in this country. If you get maimed, you get mauled, you get hurt, then don't break the law. I don't know. Crazy. But he got $1.6 million. I think most people would sign up for that. But that's pretty good. Righteous bucks. Dun, 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 dun. Tequila. 8 or 9. This is a good point. If you 8 or 9, if you start at 8, you're off earlier in the day. I like 8 o'clock just because I'm up really early and I don't mind it. It's just that I've heard from some people that are like, eh, 9 would be pretty good. 9 would be pretty good. So I'm like, all right, we'll see. Hi, JJ Raider. You say Ayuk is staying and Larry says he's gone. Are you calling Larry a liar? No, I don't think that. It's just we've both been consistent. We both have our own opinion. We've both been consistent in it. He's consistently said he thinks he's going to get traded. A lot of people think that. I've consistently said that he's not. I said that Debo was going to get traded when everybody said he wasn't. I can see the financial writing on the wall. The financial writing on the wall is there for Ayuk too. The difference is Washington thinks that that Debo still has value. And to me, there was no injury involved there. To me, Ayuk has value. There's no question. But as we talked about the other day, and as I talked about in a short the other day, we have to look at we don't have to, but the way I think that makes the most logical sense, I'm not even on the board right now. What am I doing? There we go. The thing that makes the most logical sense to me is if I'm the other team and if I'm a general manager from the other team and I think to myself, okay, I'm looking at receivers. The timing is poor for Brandon because we're a month away from the draft. And so now teams are looking at the draft going, okay, hang on a minute. I can get a wide receiver who I don't know is going to be Brandon Ayuk. That's the one side of it. And I'm Cleveland. And that's because that's the team that most people are talking about now, even though the Cleveland rumor that's out there is not a good rumor, just like I told you, the Greg Bedard wasn't. And it wasn't Bedard. It was the fact that it was in a notes column, and he said, I have a feeling in my bones they're going to look at a receiver. Didn't say they were going to look at Brandon Ayuk, but people ran with it. And this Browns rumor is from an unreliable source, but people are running with it. But a lot of people think they're going to draft Shedeur Sanders, and they have Jerry Jeudy, and they don't have a lot of other wide receivers, so it makes sense that they would trade for Brandon Ayuk. And they have a kind of a screwy owner in Jimmy Haslam, but they have a really good GM in Andrew Berry. And so who's in control there? A lot of times it's the owner, and I understand that. But are you gonna stand on a mountain for Brandon Ayuk if you're the owner? Like, I get it if it's for a quarterback or something like that. Maybe Andrew Berry wants to take Abdul Carter at two or somebody else. And the owner says, I want a quarterback. Owner's going to get his quarterback. But is he going to do the same thing for a wide receiver? I doubt it. And therefore, it's Andrew Berry's choice. He's too smart. And Andrew Berry's thinking to himself with the Browns, okay, I do need a wide receiver for my new quarterback possibly in Shedeur Sanders, which by the way, I don't really buy, because if you look at the dead money for Deshaun Watson, it's over $100 million. It's one thing to eat Aaron Rodgers 50 or Russell Wilson's 50, but you're going to eat 100 on Deshaun Watson, or he's going to sit the bench this year. I doubt it, but okay, they take Shedeur Sanders just for fun. And they need another wide receiver. Well, you're in the draft. Take another wide receiver in the draft then, and he can grow with Shedeur Sanders. What would be the fascination with Brandon Ayuk? We're not in 2024. Teams have woken up, stopped smoking crack, and realize that that's not that valuable of a position. That's just what it is right now. So I'm Andrew Berry, who's smart. If the owner is not pressuring me to do something stupid, why am I taking on a guy who's injured and I don't know when he's going to come back for my young quarterback, who I have to give a $22.8 million check to by April 1st, and I haven't even probably talked to the guy, worked him, seen the medicals. I have to pay over $25 million for salary next year, so I'm $50-plus million into this guy who's hurt. When I can get a wide receiver, I'm not going to say they're a dime a dozen, but you can get them. They're able to be had. And in the draft, if somebody takes a receiver, that means they're going to release a receiver, so I could find a veteran. It's not that hard. And if I don't want a veteran to overpay for a guy, then I can just get one through the draft, which is a month away. It's not like it's after the draft and I'm like, oh my God, my team is set. How am I going to acquire another wide receiver? It's not June right now or July. There's a thing called the NFL draft, as John Lynch has told you, because that's their strategy. Why would they right now do all those things, give up all that money, take on an injured guy, all that stuff, write that big check before April 1st because they're going to take a quarterback and they need another receiver? The draft's coming up. It just doesn't make any logical sense. Now, it doesn't make logical sense from a football standpoint that the 49ers would trade him because they have no one to catch the ball. His value is really low. But you know what? Jed York, as I've said many times, might be just that pissed off. He doesn't want to rubber stamp the check and says, get him out of here. And I'm sure, and it's a million insiders have said this, I'm sure that they've shopped Brandon Ayuk. I don't deny that for a second. But the other team, just, I gave you all the parameters of the other team just a moment ago. You're the general manager of said team. Why the hell would you do it? Why the hell would you even go to your owner and say, look, because an owner is going to have to rubber stamp this. I want you to say yes to giving, writing a check for Brandon Ayuk for $22.8 million, Mr. Owner. And we don't know when he's going to come back next year because he's fighting an ACL and an MCL injury. And we have to pay him over $25 million next year. But he was really good with the 49ers a couple of years ago. And the owner's going to go, isn't the draft coming up? Didn't the Rams just sign Davante Adams and the Seahawks Cooper Kupp, and didn't the Steelers just get DK Metcalf, and weren't there guys all over the place? Didn't teams just get a bunch of wide receivers? Didn't we just learn that those guys really don't have the leverage that we thought they had? Like, if I'm the owner and I have half a brain in my head, I'm going, wait a minute, I get it, I have 50 other businesses and I'm busy, but this doesn't make sense to me. So unless somebody is just hell-bent on getting Brandon Ayuk, and I just don't see a team that is, then it doesn't make any sense. And the news is not new. So that's why I bring that up. And it's nothing, you know, Crew can have his opinion, and I value that, and what he thinks or what other people think. But I just don't see the logic from the other team's standpoint. I see it from the Niners' standpoint, and that's what we focus on constantly, the Niners, the Niners, the Niners. But they, as I told you yesterday, can't trade him to himself. Hey, Jed, this is Jed. Oh, hey, Jed, how's it going? Great. Would you like Brandon Ayuk? Sure. Okay, we'll make a trade. Okay, Jed, have a good day, Jed. Like, you can't trade with yourself. There's got to be another team, and the other team's going, meh. Like, he's a net negative right now. Like, you give me a pick to take Brandon Ayuk. How about Brandon Ayuk and a third-round pick for our fifth-round pick? He's a net negative. They're not going to do that. I'm not suggesting that. Sure, what Lund said? Oh, he's so stupid. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that he's a net negative at this point. The money that you would owe him, the check you'd have to write him, the injury, those are all net negatives. Like, you give me a pick to take on Brandon Ayuk. You want to get rid of that thing? You want me to sign the check? He's a net negative. Like, I'll give you a 5. You give me a 3 in Ayuk. He's net negative. See what I'm saying? Yeah, you might. All right, what else do we have today? What else? We have done everything. We did the $1.6 million for the dog attack. We've done random things. Start at the top, episode 99. I will be cutting the first 10 minutes off of the show when my microphone was off without me knowing it because I didn't check the chat line. My wife didn't help me out. Bottom of the pint today with Larry Kruger at 1 o'clock on this channel and the Krug Show channel. Happy opening day. Giants preview is up at johnlundunleashed.com. Let me present that to you one more time. Because when I get off the air, what you can do is you can run to the store and you can get a bunch of stuff for the 1 o'clock show so you can hang out with us. And then there's about a 10-minute video up here right there that's separate. San Francisco Giants preview. Will they surprise us? JohnLundUnleashed.com for that blog entry. So that's a separate video right there that goes about 10 minutes. And then I go through the last 10 years because from 15 to 24, the last 10 years, what they've done since the World Series title. They're basically a 500 team with 6 losing seasons. I go through the numbers from 2024. There's some fancy charts about the projections for the lineup and the pitching. There's the 5 keys for the 2025 season for the Giants, predictions, and where I say guys in the bank and the what ifs, which make me nervous. Pecota standings from baseball perspectives. They have the Giants winning 77.8, which isn't possible. They could win 78. They could win 77. Vegas has them at 79.5. I put them at 83. So give me your thoughts as well. But that is right now up at johnlundunleashed.com. And there is a fancy video to go along with that. So if you want to see my season preview that I work so diligently on, just go to johnlundunleashed.com and you can check out that work on the website. And then we can enjoy that. So there you go. All right, before I get out of here until the 1 o'clock show, let me double check that nobody has anything to say on the chat line. Again, how many wins? How you feeling? What would you be eating today? Will you join me at 1 o'clock with Krug? What else did I ask? Oh, what did you think of the 9 o'clock start, which I didn't really do on purpose. 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, or you don't care, Pacific time. And by the way, thanks for tuning in. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, on Bay Area Sports Collective, at John Lund Radio on X and Instagram today. So make sure that you are, by the way, joining us on YouTube because that, you know, that's where the chat is and everything. What else do we have? What was this one? Hey, if you don't preserve the chat for the first 10 minutes or so, I will be disappointed in you. I'll make sure that I get to that faster because, like I said, I was so excited for opening day. What happened with the microphone, if you just joined us, is that I was going over the chalkboard. I was saying hello for opening day. I popped up the story that I wrote at johnlundunleashed.com. I was talking all about that. And then I didn't have the chat up. And I had all sorts of different things that I was throwing up there and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden it was like, I looked at all these people are just hitting me up. And then I saw this little thing on my microphone and it's barely, you can barely see it. And you can barely see it. And all of a sudden it was like, uh-oh. And that took 10 minutes. So I need to edit that out. I doubt the Raiders are all in on Ayuk. And the only reason I tell you that is Pete Carroll is the head coach and Pete Carroll does not make wide receiver a priority. They're going to try to run the football. They're kind of like Harbaugh-ish in that way. So a lot of people last year were thinking Harbaugh was going to take Malik Nabers or something in the first round for the Chargers. They took Joe Alt, an offensive tackle. The Raiders are picking at 6 this year. And I believe that the Raiders, I don't know that they'll take Ashton Jeanty. I think that is too early to take the Boise State running back. They might. They might just say we need a running back. And ever since they lost Josh Jacobs, that's a problem. And Jeanty would help out Geno Smith, which needs to happen. And I'm with you. They need a receiver. But I just don't think they would trade assets for Brandon Ayuk and pay all that money and do all those things. I don't see it. And they added a lot of money in Geno Smith and they've got to extend him. So that wouldn't make a lot of financial sense for them, but I could be wrong. I'm just speculating myself. Let's see what else. Anything else? Tequila. All right, good. All right. That'll do us. By the way, very nice. Very nice to see our good friends at East Coast Red and Gold Podcast. Not a Giants fan, but looking forward to Krug and Lund. Yeah, we'll have a great time today at 1 o'clock. And like I said, just to kind of lay that thing out one more time, we're not going to bitch. We're not going to moan. There's a swear jar for that if that happens. We're just going to have fun, drink beers. We're going to do that for Giants games every Friday. And we're going to do the debut edition today at 1 o'clock. So we would love it if you joined us then. Apologies for the idiotic mic being off or me being off. Not the mic was not idiotic. I was. For the first 10 minutes of the show, I'm going to go back and edit that out like it never happened. And then I will be back at 1 o'clock on this channel and on the Krug channel as well. Thanks to Joe today for the super muted. Thank you. And thanks for our new member, Colin. And Colin's been here before, but say hi to Colin. Much appreciated. He is a new Lund loyalist, and you can be that as well. So thank you so much. All right, thanks for hanging out today. Had a tremendous time. Even though we started at 9 o'clock, wanted to kind of play with that. Here's what's going to happen. We'll be back at 1 o'clock with the Krug Show today for Bottom of the Pint, Giants-Reds opening day, 1:10 for the start. We're going to start at 1 o'clock. And then tomorrow, I've got to do the show at 9 o'clock, not because we're trending that way, but because my wife is leaving town. I got to run the kids to school, and then I'll be back here at 9 o'clock for the Friday edition of the show. So that's the next two things we'll do. Make sure, as I said, go to johnlundunleashed.com. I have the preview up right now, as I just showed you. I have the preview up at johnlundunleashed.com. In fact, let me just show you that one more time. There you go. The Giants preview. Will they surprise us? That's up right now at johnlundunleashed.com. Thanks to our very fine sponsor, Reappell Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Remember, in fact, my wife just told me last night, true story, 100% true story. We were talking about her stem cell procedures. She said, my shoulder is 90% is what she said, and she hasn't said that forever. She said her elbow is about 60%, and she said her foot pain is between a 1 and a 10. She told me yesterday it was like a 2, and that's all because she's doing the stem cell treatment with Dr. Reappell. Check that out right there. You can make yourself an appointment if you've never done the stem cell. I've done the PRP where they spin the blood, that kind of stuff, but the stem cell treatment is a whole nother deal. And she's had pain in her shoulder, in her elbow, in her foot for years and years and years. And she's always icing it and doing all those kind of things. She's hardly bringing out the ice packs anymore, especially on the elbow and the shoulder. And now last week she just did the foot, and she said she's even feeling better from that as well. And her pain is down to like a 2 from a 1 to a 10. So Reappell for the stem cell treatment, just click on that QR code right there in Dr. Reappell. And you can go to the website directly, make an appointment, check out all the other procedures they do. And then as I've told you before, I'm doing the testosterone replacement therapy. You feel better. You have more energy. Your metabolism is up, so it's easier to lose weight. You're feeling better. You're giving your significant other, we're good to go. I know that's creepy, but all those kind of things that you feel better, you feel more like yourself. For me, it's just about the energy. I just have so much more energy. It's easier to lose weight. I feel like doing things a lot more. Testosterone replacement therapy, maybe you've heard about it before. It's not some crazy thing. What you do is you go in, you take a quick blood test, they look at it and they say, okay, this is how low you are. They give you that exact amount and you still start feeling it yourself almost immediately. It took a few days, but you just do one procedure every few months. You don't have to go in every single week. I was doing that for a while with a different company. And now I just go in every few months and you do one quick procedure and you're out of there. It's really easy. So anyway, talk to Dr. Reappell about testosterone replacement therapy and low T. I'm doing it. It is absolutely awesome. Thanks to our good friends, Dr. Jeffrey Reappell in the Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Check them out online. They do all sorts of great procedures as well. It's not just the things I'm talking about. If you go to the website, you'll see all sorts of awesome stuff there. All right. One more look at the comments line, and then I'll be back at 1 o'clock. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's how it is. It's just, I guarantee it can help you, though. I'm just telling you. But that's it. Let's see. Change the start of the show. Top of the thirst. Ooh, that's not bad either. Bottom of the pint, top of the thirst. Ooh, that ain't bad. That ain't bad. Like I said, we're messing with it. Nothing's set in stone. That's pretty good, though. I really like it. I really like it, as a matter of fact. Let's see. What do we got? Anything else? All right. That'll do us for there. Mute. I know. I got to go back. I got to delete that. That will never exist. Have a good laugh at it right now, because in 5 minutes, that thing is gone. I'm editing that out and reposting. Don't care. Not going to let that be out for public consumption for very much longer. All right. Good stuff, man. Hep, everybody is great. James, it's good to catch you at the end of the show today. Happy New Year to you, my good friend. It is very nice. Happy New Year. Happy opening day. So I'll be back at 1 o'clock today with the Krug Show, Bottom of the Pint. We'll do that at 1 o'clock. Get your baseball goodies ready, your beers and all that kind of stuff, and we will watch some Giants baseball together against the Reds on opening day. Speaking of, happy opening day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. If you're not going to be there at 1 o'clock, I completely understand. You have a great day, and then tomorrow we'll be back at 9 o'clock Pacific time because I have some duties early in the morning. Have a great day.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!